really going into heaven. This whole tape coming up will be inside of heaven. But before I begin talking about heaven, I want to read a part of the 19th chapter of Revelation. After these things John said, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and hath arranged the blood, avenged the blood of his servants at their hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that is sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Peace, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, as small and great, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and as of the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for our Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the supper is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he has said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou doest it not, I am thy fellow servant and thy brother that hath the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus in the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called righteous, faithful, called faithful and true. And in righteousness he hath judged and made war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many, many crowns. And he hath a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he hath clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. I want to say that's Jesus, if you don't know it. Heaven is a great, tremendous planet. Now, I've been talking about the city of God and all of the buildings in the city. I'm going to take you all around heaven this time. Heaven is a planet, and Jimmy Swagger, when I was on his telecast with him in the state of Louisiana, right there, he said he always believed that heaven was a planet, and it is. Going back through these many years of my ministry, going back to the year 1921, when I first preached my first sermon, I've heard many, many sermons and many, many discussions about where's heaven and all these kind of things. I wanted to go there, and I really went. I spent time in the new heaven. Some say it was a vision, some say it was a dream, but I say it was my soul that went 6 full days on this earth in a coma. It was my soul that left my body. My body was here in this earth. That's the part that goes to heaven right now. So inside of heaven, I explored all of God's heaven. Now, wouldn't it be void, and wouldn't it be something if the throne of God only covered a small portion of heaven, and then the rest of it was nothing but barren places or just mountains? No. There's different cities all through heaven, centers all through the whole place. The one is the military headquarters where Jesus is making his army to come down to conquer Satan. That's really set up properly. It's instructions. They're getting training. Angels getting training to whip the devil and his dragon and put him in the bottomless pit. So they have to have training. They're being trained how to handle him, how to capture him, and how to put him in the bottomless pit. That's a training center. So this is heaven. Now, it's not military with guns. It's not military with atomic bombs. It's not military with all these kind of earthly destructive weapons. This is a spiritual army of power, of God's power, of God's glorious power, is going to conquer the seat of Satan, going to conquer the old demon powers headquarters in the midst of the great solar system, in the midst of where all of these millions of stars are shining, where the devil's got his headquarters. And he's coming outside to capture him spiritually. You're going to ride him right into the bottomless pit. That's one part of heaven, the military or the power of Jesus' headquarters. That's right. You don't, doesn't call it military in heaven. It calls him the power of Jesus right there. And he's there with him. That's one part of heaven. Now, let's go over around heaven. There is the place, the headquarters of the children's great power where Jesus goes. Here's a center, a wonderful place, and it's got all of the facilities for children in heaven. All the aborted babies will go here, become up to the age of 7 years. This is a headquarters of the children's operation. That's the headquarters. It's a place. It's really a positive place. There's angels instructing these little children. For Jesus said, "Suffer little children, come unto me, for such is the kingdom." 10,000 square miles of playground. It has a headquarters. Of course it does. It's not just run in a chaotic way. The headquarters shows the headquarters for the little children. Another part of heaven. Now let's try to imagine in our mind this earth. This earth right here. This earth as a center, each country as a capital, each county as a capital, each state as a capital, all over the whole world, each country, each place, each province. That's the way the earth is. That's the way it's run. But heaven is run on a much more sophisticated spiritual program. There'll be no politicians that will be arguing and fighting over law. There'll be no ships getting shot down in heaven. There'll be no such thing as that. No airplanes fighting one another. Nothing like that. Nobody getting killed with a sword or with guns or this. There'll be no guns in heaven. It'll be all operated on a spiritual plan. So then here will be where these little children are singing and glorifying God. And every day except Sunday, Jesus will come in. Jesus will come in every day except one day a week. And that will be when it's all the glorifying of God. But there will be no actual time in heaven, but you can estimate it with the earthly time. So then there will be the headquarters for these children, where all the program of their wonderful times of playing, climbing trees and doing all these things, just what a child likes to do. Because it'll have a children's mind. They'll be only 7 years old, that's all. So they'll play. It'll be wonderful to watch those children having a great time, all the different children of the world. Red and black, all kinds, every kind, out there playing together in harmony in the glorious Spirit of the living God. And the glorious Spirit of the living God will be so great that it will be so wonderful that it'll be such a precious time in there, that it'll be so wonderful. But it will be no quarreling, no children be fighting. No children be saying, "That's my swing." They won't do that. No one will say, "Well, that's my ball." And no, there'll be no, because there'll be plenty of everything for them to play with. So they won't say, "Well, this is mine," and start quarreling over some little toy. It'll be run in perfect harmony. And these children will be together in fellowship, together in the love of Jesus. Because Jesus said, "Suffer little children, come unto me. Come on to him." And he'd be there among them every day to bless them in heaven. Because he said he would do it. "Suffer little children come to me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Then he goes on, "There in my Father's house are many mansions." Now there's the area of the mansions. Now, those mansions are not just going to be run chaotically. No way. There'll be no repairs, no leaks, nothing like that. But still, there will be order. So then there'll be archangels over all of those mansions. And those mansions will have all kinds of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tops and beautiful. And there will be a person, archangels going around, who's in charge of these mansions to see there's plenty of power and the fire of God going off in there. That's right. And in other words, they'll be run. There'll be nothing to clean because there'll be no dust. There'll be nothing to wash up because there'll be nothing dirty. There'll be no toilets because you won't need them. There'll be no hot water tanks because you won't need them. You won't get dirty. You won't even have to take a bath. You'll keep clean all the time. There'll be no such thing as dirt. There'll be no such thing as a dandruff in your hair. You won't have such things like that. Everything will be pure and clean and holy. You won't have to have a handkerchief to blow your nose because there'll be no snivel. You'll be a pure body, no disease whatsoever. You get no colds or anything like that. So inside of that wonderful mansion, mansions, there will be those, and there'll be a headquarters for those mansions. That's right. Jesus is going to take charge of the mansions. He's going to do that. And he's going to see that they're all right. Now, but going out away from the city on into the interior. Now, remember, on the top of the city, four square, is these chariots where you can travel all around God's heaven, like going from San Francisco to New York or going anywhere around this planet in an airplane. Instead of that, you'll go around the heavenly planet in a mansion, in a wonderful chariot. That chariot will not be run on dirty old gasoline or oil or have to have the transmission fixed. There'll be no repairs needed on it because it lasts forever and ever and ever. But it has a headquarters. Then off of the city four square where the garage is to pick them up at the throne of God in the city, coming to the city, it will take out all over God's heaven. But there'll still be a headquarters out there in the planet for these wonderful, wonderful chariots. There will be a headquarters out there where they're taken. And if we need any more, God will just say 10 more chariots and they'll be there. You won't have to get them out from some headquarters over there and a lot of repair making them and fixing them. We won't have any production line to make them. God will just say, let there be more chariots and be more chariots. That's wonderful. And that will be way off from the city four square. And you just try to imagine how many chariots are going to take. And they'll be settling down in all of these different governing areas of heaven. All the different governing areas. Now, it has to have a system of transportation in the air in heaven. Now, we have controllers here, and we have all this kind of thing operating to see that the plane gets into different places. Coming in Detroit the other week, a couple of weeks ago, coming in Detroit. We couldn't land in Detroit and stayed there an hour flying around outside. And here's what they said. The thunderstorms were going, they were short of controllers, and it was so busy that they had to wait because they couldn't handle the situation during the thunderstorm. They said they needed more controllers over there. Maybe it was wrong to fire them. I don't know. That's political. But I want to say I had to wait there an hour, and then I missed the plane going to Fort Wayne because the plane was late getting in Detroit. So then when I went up to the counter, I asked them, I said, do you want me to stay in this airport all night? I said, no. They put me up in the Sheraton Hotel. Brought me back next morning, and then I went into Fort Wayne. That's confusion. A lot of those passengers didn't like it. They took me down in the Sheraton bus, down there, in a very nice room. But I was supposed to have been in Fort Wayne. So I missed my plane, but not so in heaven. The transportation of heaven is going to be so wonderfully operated. Then I want you to think of these thousands and thousands upon thousands of chariots in heaven, all flying over God's heaven. There'll be no near misses. They will be operating under the Spirit and the power of the living God, but it will also have a controller. And that controlling system will be the archangels who operate that system. of the chariots going all over it. Now, I want you to think about a million times more than there is on this earth of airplanes, all flying all over God's heaven at one time, going, not hitting one another, but just flying in perfect harmony all over heaven. That's what I saw. Thousands and thousands and thousands of those chariots with angels in them, flying everywhere, flying up, flying down, going up. Now you've got 6,000 feet up there, 10,000 feet, because heaven's a big planet inside. You're talking about inside, how big it is. So they'll be flying all over God's heaven. But not only that, the chariots will go outside of heaven and go all over the outer perimeter of heaven, fly over and land you in the different parts of the outside. What an operation that's going to be. I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about how great it is. I'm talking about how big and great this planet is. To accommodate all these people, because your bodies are going up there too, to accommodate all these people, going to have some transportation system. But it's going to be perfect. It's going to be so perfect. So wonderful. Now then, growing of the fruits in heaven. It's not going to be like an earthly agricultural department here with an agricultural secretary, whoever he is now. Been changing all the time. But what I want to say there is it's going to be a system of food production. The system of food production is going to come, the fruit is going to come from all over God's planet on the outside and on the inside. Can you imagine a planet so beautiful and so great with fruit growing all over the place? Fruit. And they'll go and get that fruit, bring it in, put it on the banquet table, and there'll be abundance. You never run short, never. And there's going to be a fruit supply system where it'll run in perfect harmony. There'll be not too much made or not nothing wasted, not a thing. There'll be abundance of it. And you'll be able to eat all the fruit you want in heaven, all you want, and all the manna you want, everything to supply the hungry system of your body in heaven. You get hungry, of course you will. Because it was Abraham that entertained angels and they ate with him. And you're going to eat. Heaven is not just going to be a place where you go around in some kind of animation or some kind of an existence. It's going to be a perfectly run planet under God's plan and God on His throne. Now, the clothing. The clothing is the wedding garment. The wedding garment. But the wedding garment represents the Holy Ghost. But you'll also have additional clothes on you. Additional clothes. And there'll be a great production of clothes, of beautiful, beautiful clothes, silky looking. They look so glorious and so lovely, sweeping through like this lady that I saw in there in heaven. Here she was dressed in the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful garments beside her wedding garment. Her wedding garment. And here was this flowing robe. And as she was going through heaven, sailing through heaven, not in a chariot, but on God's power. And this wonderful, wonderful trail was spinning out behind her as she was winding her way all over God. So you can fly by yourself if you want to. You'll be able to fly. And that's some wonderful. There's no gravity up there. You'll be able to fly wherever you want to go. Just get up and go. That's on fly. You'll fly like a bird. Oh, that'll be so wonderful. Have that power of being able to fly around. And then there's also going to be a worship department. Now, the worship department is the worship department. And all over God's heaven, you'll be able to worship God. Not only just in the temple, but out in the beautiful valleys, and out in the beautiful mountains, and out there, out place. But still, it'll be run on a beautiful, beautiful heavenly order. So then you'll feel like you want to just start worshiping God for a while out there, not just in the temple. So you'll turn around and have a good time dancing away out in those mountains. Dancing to the glory of God and having you a good time out there. And you'll be worshiping God. That's exactly the way it will be. And then also there will be a department of music. The wonderful music. This music will be so wonderful out there. Glorious and precious music out there. And this music will have organs, all kinds, we said, all kinds of instruments, and all kinds of... But you'll practice. You'll practice in heaven. That sounds funny, but that's what you'll do. And out there in the interior of heaven, there'll be a place where they have their musical headquarters, not only a musical headquarters, with the different bands and the different musical instrument will have their wonderful, wonderful, wonderful origin. And before the throne of God, there will be the parade of the martyrs. But that will be all over after the rapture. There will be no more parade of the martyrs. The martyrs will be always recognized, but we will be completely redeemed. But then it will be always the recognition of the martyrs forever and ever and ever, who gave their life upon this cross. But the music is the most wonderful part. Here will be a different, beautiful band come before God. There will be a band. Be no competition, because everyone will be first class and perfect. No one will outdo the other. Music will be so good. Then when it happens, here will become a group before God, and they'll entertain us. And here will be this group before God, a massive. Now, I'm not talking about an orchestra of 15 people. I'm talking about music with 10,000 of them. And not only that, but many of those different 10,000 times, I mean 10,000 times musical instruments singing. They'll go out there in the interior heaven, have a place out there, and be able to, because there'll be no night there. So you go out in there and enjoy it. You won't get tired. That's the most wonderful thing to me. I get tired now, but you will not get tired out there any way, shape, or form. Then also beside that, you'll also have, not only that, you'll also have a wonderful bells. And these bells will be controlled in heaven. God's so great and so wonderful. He's so precious. Then also, going back to what I'm saying, is also the wonderful parts of heaven where the transportation is going to be controlled. So you'll need a chariot. Supposing you've got a group, because we know as we know, and say, we want to make a trip all over God's heaven. So then you will take a chariot. So you'll order a chariot from the transportation department, and then you go all over God's heaven in it and take a trip. Wouldn't it be wonderful to do that? As I read this 19th chapter of Revelation, I was thinking of this wonderful, precious crowd of people, of men and women, glorifying God and saying, let us be glad and give our honor to him. The marriage of the supper of the Lamb is come. His wife has made herself ready. All this great crowd in the first resurrection. Now, what I want you to realize, the amount of people that's going to be handled in heaven to go all over God's heaven, the amount of people, millions and millions and millions that will have to be transported by many means of transportation. There could be up to 1 billion souls, 2 billion souls. Now, I want you to realize these are going to be transported all over heaven. So 100 chariots won't do it, will it? Never. Not with that many to travel. So heaven will be such a great place of activity and such a great place of the glory of God. Now I want to talk about the banqueting house, how that's going to be operated. The banqueting house is going to be a banqueting house of 10,000 square miles of table, with the head table for Jesus, looking at behind it to the windows of heaven. But all of that has got to be brought into order, because God's heaven is going to be a place of order. And this place of order will have direction. It will have control. You mean to say heaven is going to run wild? No, it'll have control. So then in this country, when you have a hotel, you have a Matsudi hotel, you have waiters, and you have cooks and all these things. But it'd be so much different in heaven. Here is this continuous setting of the banquet house tables. Continuous. So many will be eating. There'll be revolving, revolving eating 24 hours a day. But then that's all got to be in order. You couldn't just have a confusion mess in there in that great big banquet house. So you'll have controllers over the menu. You mean to say a menu in heaven? Of course a menu in heaven. Absolutely. But what will be the different types of dinners and different types of food? That's the answer. You'll have different kinds of fruit. Because it tells you very clearly in the Bible that there'll be 12 manners of fruit just alongside of the river of life. 12 manners of fruit there. But there's going to be not only 12 manners of fruit in heaven. Jesus told me there's going to be over 1,000 different manners of fruit. Now, if you eat peaches all day, you get tired of peaches. If you eat plums all day, you get tired of eating oranges all day. So that's why God's given us a variety upon this earth of different tastes of fruit. But in heaven, you're going to have many hundreds and hundreds of different styles of fruit. So you come into your dinner this day to eat at God's table, and you'll get a surprise because there'll be a different type of fruit, different type of manna, and different kind of food on that table. So you'll eat, and you won't get fat. You'll stay the same, all the same. But this fruit will go into your body, and the food will go in your body to give you wisdom and knowledge. It'll feed your body and your soul, because you'll be fed and nourished by the Spirit and the power of God and by the fruit in heaven. There's definitely a banqueting house in heaven. Then also with this wonderful, wonderful heaven, so precious, so real, and so glorious, there will be the transportation going out into the outer space where the cities are. So then they're just going to say, well, I'm flying out anyway in order. I'm just going to go out. No, you won't. You'll be under the subjection of God. And you'll make application. Say, I want to go out there among the planets. I want to go out and see where the angels live. I want to go and see all this. So then Jesus and his angels and his power will consider your request. Consider it according to what you've done. And then you'll be able to take a trip. Now, you notice that these picnics and all these outer space vehicles, some of them are still traveling for weeks and weeks and weeks and years. But then you're going to take a trip out there away into God's planet for maybe 100 years. You'll be gone out of heaven 100 years. Gone in there, come back. What a time that will be, because there'll be no time. Billions of years of eternity to do all this, and millions, billions of years, with world without end, no end to it. Be continuous on forever and ever. This is heaven I'm talking about, friends, heaven. Heaven is so real and so precious, so wonderful, that God will bless you in it all of his power. Going out into heaven, going out into outer space. Nothing will stop you, my friends, nothing will stop you. You'll have the greatest experience that's ever known in your whole time of eternity. And then, of course, there will be the worship of Jesus and the light. The light in the city where the Lamb is the light, where Jesus is light, lights up all of heaven with his eyes. It said right here in this chapter, his eyes were as a flame of fire. Right in this chapter, the eyes of Jesus, a flame of fire. We'll have a word of prayer in closing. God bless you, be with you is my prayer. And may God heal you right now if you need healing. May God love you and be my prayer. Be with you always is my prayer. Amen. Talking about the throne of heaven, the throne of God, I would like to dwell all of this half an hour on the throne. I often wondered during my life why there would be four beasts, 24 elders, in such a way that John prescribed it, the throne of God. Now, the throne of God is not what you would think, something small. Over 2,000 miles and more, the bottom of the base of the throne to the top of God's head. It covers a vast area, not just, for instance, a limited a couple hundred feet or so, but thousands of feet of miles across the base of it, several thousand miles of the base. You're beginning to get the picture of the throne of God. Now, there's a measurement for the City Four Square very clear in the Bible. But the throne of God has never been described, as I know of, as the way that Lord has shown me. Now, the throne of God is a great throne, and God sits on the throne, very clear, a big God. He's not just a little God, he's a spirit. And he's not subjected down to size. But you can see the shape of God, but not his face. And he is the great creator, the spirit of the living God, the great creator, created all things. And the whole universe and outer space was void and without form, as Jesus told it to me. Like the earth was void and without form, and God put it all in shape in a very, very short time, because he's God. Now, the throne of God, when you think of it, is something different, altogether different. Explained as an earthly throne with just a king or a queen sitting on it. It's a tremendous, vast area with all the life of this great throne. Now, why should it be a throne? Well, that's God's business. And that John saw that. And he said in the fourth chapter, and read it again, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. First voice heard, which of that is the voice of a trumpet talking. Come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne, and he that sat on it looked like upon a jasper and sardine stone. What a different picture it is of him to look something like a stone. Why would that be? Why shouldn't he look just like a man, as it were? Just the image of a man. He is. And then why should there be four beasts? Four beasts represent the four corners of the earth, as it were, but there's a 420 elders. Here they are around the throne with crowns, throwing those crowns down at the feet of Jesus. And friends, it's the most spectacular sight to see the throne. Now, to go before the throne of God is where 10,000 times 10,000 thousands of angels are dancing before God. And there are the martyrs and also the different ones of the old Bible. Why is it brought down to such a small piece of literature as the Bible? Why is that so? Why wasn't there more information upon this earth as to about the throne of God, that the human race would know there is a God? And all this kind of thing. However, because John gives the answer very clearly here. He said, and I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. Immediately I was in the Spirit. And he saw the throne through him being the Spirit. He couldn't see it in the natural. No man can see the throne in the natural. It's done and through by being in the Spirit of God. Now, when you're baptized into the water, that's a natural testimony. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus. But when you come over to be baptized in the Spirit, that's a different situation altogether. So John was in the Spirit, and he saw the throne in the Spirit. He didn't see it in the flesh, but he saw it in the Spirit. In other words, his soul saw it, his spirit saw it. John, what was inside of him, saw it. And I saw the same thing. Now, to get in the Spirit is something very unusual. Now, we've had meetings in many different kinds of churches where they've been singing, praising God, and seemingly in the Spirit, but it's different than that. To be in the Spirit, really in the Spirit of God, immediately I was in the Spirit, he said. Well, he was in the Spirit enough to see something in heaven. He was in the Spirit enough to see what was going on in heaven. That's right. He couldn't have done it the natural eyes. No way. no natural eyes could see that far. But yet, he did see what I saw. He saw exactly what I saw. But I didn't know or read Revelation at all before I went to heaven. No, I didn't read it. I just went by faith. There's heaven somewhere altogether different. When I was back on this earth, friends, I began to read Revelation, found out John had saw the same thing that I saw. That's right. And a record coming back. He brought us a record back. There it is of what was in heaven, because he was in the Spirit. Now, we have calls on the telephone. I get them from all over the United States. In fact, all over the world, calls coming for me. Now, I've had several come in lately of people who've seen into heaven. It's happened to others. Seen inside of heaven. Many times. And they'll tell me why I had an experience a couple of years ago, they'll say. And I was laying on my bed, or I was doing this or doing that, and all at once, I felt a great power over me. And I saw right into heaven. I saw the glory of God. I saw it. Not just a flash of light, or they saw something like a spirit. That's not enough for me. But they actually saw into heaven. And the most wonderful testimonies I'm getting over the telephone of those that call me up have had some of this wonderful experience. This is the day of the divine intervention of God. Because the human race is coming to an end. Don't forget it. It's finishing. It's coming finishing. Some say we'll be destroyed as by water or by fire, all kinds of destruction upon the earth. But let me tell you what just come over the news. The news said that between 10 and 12 million people have the AIDS in the world. AIDS all over. And it said if something isn't done, the human race will be destroyed by this horrible disease. And that all comes out of sin. Just think, it's creeping up. And it's going, and there's no way that by just curing it in America, it will happen. It has to be a cooperation worldwide in order absolutely have the complete deliverance from AIDS, but it's not going to do that. It's jumping rapidly. It's on the news now, on NBC News. I listen to it. And you know what it is? Jesus said in the last days there would be plagues. God said he'd pour out these plagues. In other words, he takes his hand off and let the devil go at it. And this, without a question, Jesus told me in heaven there's going to be a great plague come on the earth. Now, remember, it was the end of 79 when I went to heaven. End of 79. That's right. And so then that's about that year, quite a few years ago. Of course, I've had lots of visions of heaven since and refreshed my mind of what I saw only through the Holy Ghost. But now here is this terrible disease coming. He said to me, and he revealed this, Satan was going to be a terrible plague come on the earth and kill millions. Because why? Because they have been serving God. Because they've been serving the devil, playing around with this world and having sexual connections and all this kind of thing. Homosexuality and all this ungodly stuff going on. That's right. In this earth. And God told me, Jesus told me in heaven that one of the plagues was going to happen. Over 10 years ago, and here it is. Here's the time. It started about 4 years ago. Now, here it is. Look at it. Rapidly spreading until there are between 10 and 12 cases of AIDS in the world today. Now, that starts spreading, and that's just happened that 4 years. It's spread to that much from a few thousand to all between 10 and 12 million people going to strike. Now, you just don't get it through love contract. You get it many other ways, he told us tonight, the way you get it. So it's spreading all over the world, everywhere. And it's one of the plagues of the last days. God is angry at the sin of this world. Angry. They've been going on in their own way, and Jesus came upon this earth. There he did, and gave a way out. God loved the world, and there was Jesus around the throne of God. Now, let's kind of try to measure this throne if we can. It'd be kind of hard, really hard to do with the vast size of the planet heaven. Because, my friends, here is exactly the way the throne works. Now, there's people on this earth with cancer, cripples, and all kinds of different cripples in this world. Now, do you remember back in the Old Testament where they made a brazen serpent and all those kind of things that was coming about looking on? But when the body's brought up out of the grave and brought into heaven, can be a cripple, cancer, and as soon as they look upon the throne of God, they will be immediately healed and brought into the most beautiful body of all. Be no cripples, no sickness, no sorrow, no blindness, no aches of any kind. It'll be beautiful, beautiful, beautiful health in heaven, the health of the soul and the body. Now, upon that throne, when you think of it, there can sit. Just think of not only the four elders and the 24 beasts, but just think of the base of the throne with thousands upon thousands praising God. And underneath that great altar of God, filled with millions under there that were killed for the testimony of Jesus Christ upon this earth. Martyrs that have been killed. And it's going on. Killing's been going on for hundreds of years. Near they under the throne of God. And when the first resurrection takes place, all those are coming up on the altar to worship God together, and their prayer will be finished, because there will be no more way down on this earth to actually partake in the first resurrection, because the first resurrection will be over. Now, looking back at the throne, again, the beautiful white throne, because it's white because it is fire. But also around that throne, there's many, many, many other colors. All rainbows that I know of have different colors. Going through one time South America, and I drove right through a rainbow. I could almost touch it both sides. Drove through the middle of it, going through a valley. That was quite an experience. But there, a rainbow is always a place of many colors, different shades, always. Beautiful colors of the rainbow. But then all around God's throne, all the way up over it and over the head, is millions of different shades and colors. It's the most gorgeous sight. Don't look at it as just a drab place, because it's the most gorgeous and prettiest and beautiful reality could infer them. Now, all of the whole base of the throne is studded with all kinds of precious stones, diamonds, sapphires, everything. And it's a glittering image of beauty. A glittering image of beauty. The throne itself is a miraculous sight. And there where Jesus sits also. And when you think of the gorgeous colors of the throne of God, not piercing colors, but beautiful soft colors, that's the throne, sitting right in the middle of the great city of God. Then the four square is also studded with all kinds of beauty, and so is the temple. It's not just a drab-looking, dull-looking building. Did you ever go down into an old wholesale section of town? Go into some parts of the east side of New York. Used to be beautiful. Now it's dilapidated. Oh, dilapidated. People walking around the streets. Windows all out. Awful looking. That's many of the cities in the United States. And it's not. But even in the early days when they were in their fullness, they were drab looking buildings. Oh, so horrible colors. No color to them at all. But all you've got to do is look at the beautiful grass and the flowers. Even on this earth, looks much more beautiful. Why do people put flowers in their rooms? Because they are flowers of many, many different colors. That's why they like beauty, they like color. So when you think of the throne of God, growing all around the bottom of the base of the throne of God are millions of beautiful flowers. Now, you didn't ever realize God's throne was like that, did you? You thought it was just an old drab place in your mind. Millions and millions and billions of beautiful flowers growing all around at the lower base of the throne. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous flowers. And they're not imitation here. They're alive and smelling beautiful. That's right. Flowers, the growth of God. And then when you think of the brazen altar and the golden altar, and not only that, but also the lamb, the slain lamb, replica of slain lamb. There's also the different glorious ones, the martyrs, and all that, all around the throne. Look into all ways. Looking God as eyes all around him. All around him. That's God. Not just little old two squinty eyes like a lot of people got down. But he's got beautiful eyes. Looking out into all parts of heaven and even further into the universe. Into the whole great universe. That's the God I serve. So great. He can see all the ways into eternity. What an omnipotent, what a great power of God he is. He's the creator, done it all. And won't it be wonderful to be with him and serve him? And you can get in touch with him now. You can talk to him now. His ear is not short that he won't talk to you. He knows every individual, every one of us. And he got every hair on everybody's head counted. God knows us, and he knows you. And he's not hard to get acquainted with. God's not hard to get acquainted with him. Just say, Dear Father, Heavenly Father, and get in your room alongside the bed, and you'll have God in your room. And he's the God of all power, and he's the God of salvation. And you know, Jesus called him his Father. He said, In my Father's house. Or many mentioned that so, and he said, Jesus talked about heaven because he came from there. And he knew what was there because he came from there. That's where he come from. In the spirit, the spiritual part of Jesus came from heaven. The fleshly part came from this earth. He had a dual personality, both Son of Man and Son of God. But he knew what was up there while he was here upon this earth walking the shores of Galilee. Who do you say I am? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of God, the Son of the living God. And that's heaven, the beautiful part of heaven. Still back in heaven, when you think of these different levels, if you could just try to think of the different parts of heaven, the steps, then millions and millions and millions of people standing around the base of the throne, many of them dancing, many of them playing, still you can walk. And you look so small when you walk down on the fourth level of heaven. You just look like from there you don't look very big. Because you are small in stature according to what the great body of God is. And it's so specular when I first had this wonderful experience in the spirit, out-of-body experience going inside of heaven. The three of us stood there in awe to watch that great throne of God, so great and so powerful. And remember, it was not just a few feet from the door where we come in. It was hundreds of miles from the door. Because it sits right in the center of the great planet heaven. With 2,000 miles around it, so it's a tremendous long ways from the door entrance heaven to where God dwells. It's a long ways to that city. It's clear across the middle of heaven. So you're traveling 10 times further than going across the United States. Because, that's right, many times further. And that's where it is. But yet is preeminence. And yet is presence there as influence all over heaven. And you can see him from any level of heaven, every part of heaven. Soon as you get inside heaven's door, there's the throne right in front of you. So then, thinking with such a spectacular manner and so precious and wonderful, then you see all the great operation of the great city lit up by Jesus. And then the throne, when you go around the back of the throne, you might call it the back of the throne. It really is no back of the throne. But when you do that, you can't help but see God. You can't help but see the spectacular reality. There's no way when you're in heaven you'll get away from the face of God. His face is always looking at you. And he's always knowing you're there because it's complete purity in heaven. No AIDS, no TB, nothing like that up there. Just as pure as can be. because it is really so. And while I'm speaking of this wonderful time when you could think of the redeemed, of God, the redeemed, the Bible says we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We don't stop right there. And the word of our testimony. The word of our what is the word of the man's testimony? I know there's a heaven. I was washed in the blood. Jesus saved me. And I've got my mind on heaven. And I got my mind on eternity. I got my mind on going to heaven. That's what you should be doing, because it's going to happen anyway. And it's going to happen. You're going to come to a short end. You're not going to be a long end. When you're going to die, it's going to happen. Nothing's going to stop it, unless you're going to live forever, unless you take off in a rapture. It's going to happen. Well, why not partake in heaven right now and learn about heaven now? Why not learn out about heaven? Just learn out the wonderful experience you, and not only what else would happen, but to you will happen a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience of a spiritual look into heaven. It happened to anybody. Just a look. Just even a look is so wonderful. And how do you look that far? By and through the Spirit of God. But I really went there with my soul. You see, it makes a difference. It took 6 hours to get there. For God is a spirit in color and beauty and reality. Then this great throne and the altar sitting there so vast and so... You may be thinking of an altar about, at 8 or 10 feet wide, but these altars are miles wide. Not just a little altar, the brazen altar, just stacked full of burning coals. Burning. The brazen, something to see, a brazen altar. I saw a brazen altar. What I mean? Lit up. Now, they don't cook vendors on there, cook on there. What that brazen altar represents, the fire of God. For God is a consuming fire. And the fire of the Spirit of God comes onto the brazen altar. Here's where that burns up all of anything that's not of God. When you go in the front, in the rapture, you walk before the brazen altar. And if there's any little bit of the world left on you, the brazen altar, burn it off. Burn it right off you. There'll be no more disease. That's right. No more disease. Elijah, he saw it. And then there was also Hezekiah and all these one back there. God took them to heaven. That's right, eventually. Abraham went because I saw him there. Moses went because I saw him there. In heaven, inside heaven. And here they are in their place. When you can see the prophets of the Old Testament have taken their place around the throne of God, around the throne of God. They brought to us the truth of the Word of God. And yet many wouldn't listen. Many wouldn't listen. Not listening today. They're going to have a good time, dance in the juke joints, and go and get drunk and all this kind of thing. And still it's going to creep upon us just like a thief in the night. Just like a thief in the night. Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. That's right. And a lot of eyes will see him, but then he'll be here. And the first thing you know, you'll go out in the morning and be a lot of missing people. Where are they gone? They've gone, left, and gone to heaven. And leave those here without a God. Without any contact with them. What a dead place this is going to be. That's why. Now, I've prayed many times, of course. When I've been on my knees praying, seeking God, you know immediately when that throne, when that prayer goes through and connects the throne of God. Connects it. When that prayer connects the throne of God, connects the golden altar and the brazen altar, and then on up over to God, that's individual prayer. That's the prayers of an individual praise. Oh, God, let me see the heaven. God hears it the day you start praying. But he's going to test you. He's not going to let you just get by with just a short prayer and go right into heaven. I had to beg him to go there. I had to really beg him to go. Because there is wonderful experiences of going into heaven. When it finally happened after this long prayer, finally happened, friends. To me, it was this feeling of, and you do have a feeling that was, God has answered my prayer. And when I was told a day was 1,000 years old, what difference that few years of praying the prayers of desperation? That's right. When you put your whole body, soul, and spirit into a prayer to know God's truth, you'll get it. You'll really get it then. And you get, and the most wonderful part about it, you get a divine information individually. God doesn't pour it out in mass. He'll pour it out sometimes, you know, just in the where it hits the natural. But friends, what it is, when you get in the Spirit, you make that connection in the Spirit, you'll know it and others will know it around you. That's right. And therefore, you begin to have an experience in God's heaven. And the experience is so beautiful, so precious. It's all so spectacular and so real. When Solomon came, when Queen of Sheba came up to Solomon's temple, and when she saw it, she said, the half has never been told. She said, the most glorious place you ever looked, just Solomon's temple, that's all it was, just Solomon's temple. But here's a place in heaven, a million times more spectacular than Solomon's temple, or anything this earth has ever been, or any place. A million times more than any architect has ever done upon this earth. Here's the city of God. And you got a chance to go there and see it and come back and tell a story of what you saw. That's right. So how do you go about that? Just like I did. Decide to pray and say, oh, God, let me see your heaven. You may still have time to go because the rapture not too far away. And when it's all gone out of here to heaven, it's going to be a sorry place to be. It'll be the deadest, sorriest place that people, they'll try to get in there in the juke joint and play some music. Be no electric to play it with. It'll be dark, no electric to play it. They'll just have to play the old hand vehicles. Friends, I love you tonight. May God bless you. God bless you. My prayer. I would like to tell you one thing, that I'll be praying for you. Father, I bless them, Lord, be with them. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.